Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all last week? We had a good time over here on a due time with Pastor Steph. As we started off the week in our relationship dilemma. Well, do you remember? Yes, I know you would. That husband and wife team who wanted to had the surrogate for their infertility problems, and they went to her sister. Sister said yes, and after the husband said, he got to thinking about all the hard work that they would have to go through getting this in vitro done, because, you know, it's very expensive, and you know, it may not work the first time, and it may, you know, be very time-consuming. He suggested that the issue be addressed by going the old-fashioned way. Yes, that the surrogate should become a surrogate by natural stages. Well, wife was like, you must be the lost your mind. No, no way, no way, no way. You know, I'm not letting you have sex with my sister for the sake of moving this process along, because you feel like, hey, I think we want to, you know, move this process along, and it's a little too much to be waiting on, and yeah. Nah, it wasn't a selling point for her. Okay. Well, he got upset. He claimed she didn't love him and she didn't trust him, and, you know, what's wrong with you? And, you know, this is about us, and, you know, I need to make sure that we get this done. I'm only looking out for the, you know, the benefit of this situation here. Well, everybody said you need to be washing out for more than this surrogacy issue. Yeah, there's some other issues going on with your husband and his eye on your sister. Yeah. Well, that was a dilemma. It didn't go very well. So we don't even know if they're together anymore. Yeah, something to think about for real. Something to really, really take the time to think about. Well, we surely couldn't finish off a Monday without getting that switch tip from Shantice. Hit that reset button. And as we pointed out on Friday, a girlfriend needed to hit that reset button on that marriage. Yeah, you really, really got, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. When you need to hit that reset button, God's going to tell you. Oh, yeah. God is definitely going to give you the heads up that something just ain't right. Yes, something just ain't right with your attitude. Something just ain't right with the situation. Something ain't right with the way you're thinking. Something ain't right with the way someone else is acting. Something ain't right with the results you just got. Yeah, something ain't right, and you really need to hit the reset button. You know, there's more than one reason to want to hit that reset button, and you really need to consider it. You know, it's not just going to be something that's just going to pop up. You know, we're not just talking about when you get ready to say something and, you know, you need to hit that reset button because your attitude, you know, wasn't right. And, you know, you need a second opportunity to really think about what you get ready to say. No, the more we talk about this, hitting this reset button, the more we realize that, yeah, we need to hit that reset button on more than just that. Yeah, really do. Sometimes we want to make a move and, you know, out of anger or disappointment or some level of upset, we really haven't consulted God. You need to hit that reset button. Oh, boy. We need to hit that reset button on definite more than one occasion. All right, so let's get that done. Well, the next day was Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. And, man, we got to talking about these T-shirts that people are wearing. Yeah. Thou shalt not try me, mood 24/7. What about, that's not what I meant, laugh out loud. Jesus, oh, thou shalt not move. Wait a minute, make sure. Thou shalt not make me lose my ish, as the streets say it. Yeah, they didn't lost their mind. They didn't lost their ever loving mind. When you start quoting Jesus, and it ain't what he said. When you start putting phrases together and then going to pretend like it was in the Bible, mood 24/7. Oh, yeah, that 24/7 came up a couple of times on a couple of shirts last week. And, you know, we got to be real careful about, you know, what we are, you know, saying when it comes to the Word of God. Yeah, we can't be joking around like that. You know, I mean, there's so many ways that we can speak inappropriately. But when we put it on a shirt, yeah, that means something completely different. You know, as embroiderers, and we do a lot of shirts and things like that, you know, the seriousness of it all is it speaks when your mouth is closed. Yeah. When you're not saying anything, your garments speak for you. And we're going to have to realize that we have a bigger responsibility than we think, and we're going to be calling ourselves children of God. Yes, 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 yes. All righty. So come on. Let's make sure we're not wearing anything that God would not be happy with. Okay? All righty. Well, last week, Wednesday, rolled around, and before we knew it, it was Wow Wednesday. And Vivian got us started with the socially conscious segment. And, yes, I do want to, again, talk about those COVID numbers where every one of the five states that were in our top five, all their numbers went down. Absolutely, God is moving. Yes, and last week Monday, our mask mandate for school here in New York City came off. Yes, our dining ability and our event attending. Yeah, you don't have to show any proof of vaccination any longer. Yes, because the mayor promised that if the numbers were going down and continued to go down, then he would lift those mandates, and he did. So, you know, we may not want to quite take off the mask yet, but we definitely can move into a safer, safer environment. Okay? All righty. Well, last week, the hot topic of the morning of the news was the Texas governor, who is trying to run interference with the youth surgeries for the transgender individuals, and how he wants to block the puberty blocking meds. Yeah. You know, do we really want to run things into our children's bodies and we don't really know the ultimate outcome of these injections and things like that? We don't know. We don't know how it's going to take effect. And, you know, maybe we want to take a step back and see what God can do instead. Maybe that needs to be the puberty blocking med and the block for the youth surgeries for these transgender individuals. What you thinking? Well, the topic of the morning that the ladies, the women of worship, spoke on was how to show a little more kindness. Yes. How to be more kind. And we talked about how we treat ourselves. Yeah, I thought that was a really interesting one. You know, how we treat ourselves, it does show, you know, and give an opportunity for us to be more kind to not just ourselves, but to other individuals. Yeah. You know, a lot of times we don't think like that. But, you know, God forces us to think just a little bit, you know, just a little bit more than, you know, we tend to move. And that was, you know, one of the things that came up. And I really think that we need to work on that, because it doesn't just, you know, bless ourselves. It blesses others. And it doesn't just bless others. It blesses us. So that was definitely, you know, what I wanted to point out this morning as a two-way street. Yes. Okay. Well, Therapeutic Thursday rolled around, and we got a chance to talk about, let's see what I do, time crew. You can't hide from God. You can run, but you can't hide from the Lord. Yes. Ooh, I really got a blessing, you know, in having that conversation, you know, when we brought up the fact that God knows our habits and God knows our thoughts and God knows our words. And most of all, God knows our location. Yes. The Bible says that David said, "Where can I go in this world that you don't know where I am? How can I possibly think that I'm going to run from you?" It doesn't work like that, my people. Not even a little bit. Yeah. Well, Friday, Freestyle Friday came around, and we had a good time as we, you know, continued our conversation with this Jussie Smollett issue. and you know how he was found guilty for this hate crime accusation, and you know he was sentenced to 5 months in jail and paying restitution in the state of Chicago back. And it was a really good conversation. Very good conversation as to, you know, how we move forward after all of this, you know. And the men really, really, really touched on some really vital issues. And I need you to go back and listen. Yes, you know, the men got to talking. You know, they really are able to shine a light on some things that, you know, are important for us to move forward with. And they always send us out with a bang for the weekend. So that, I'm going to send you back. I'm going to send you back to listen. Wow. Last night, the Word Prayer Project. Sunday, we started with prayer, and we prayed regarding discipline. Ooh-wee. Whoa. That was a good one. You know, we always have good ones, but that discipline thing, ooh, baby. You know, the prayer request, I always talk about the prayer request, you know, how the prayer requests are so stimulating. Yeah, when you all get to thinking about all the things that, you know, how you're affected by these topics, and that discipline is big. And I'm going to try to remember the phrase, whatever I need to do, God, no, whatever I need to do to make it right, God, I'll do it. Whatever it is I need to do to make it right, God, I'll do it. Whatever I need to do to make it right, God, I'll do it. And that's us surrendering to discipline. God's discipline, a godly discipline. You know, and that just takes it deeper. It just takes it deeper and deeper and deeper as to, you know, when God taps us on the shoulder and he brings something to our attention, you know, we really don't have an option. No, not as children of God. You know, as we are navigating through life and we're trying to figure out if we want God or not, as we're navigating through life and we are trying to, you know, God has called us and, you know, we trying to figure out, did God really call me and am I really supposed to be making these changes? And that's an entirely different situation. When we have declared that we are children of God, then when we are being disciplined, we step up. Somebody tells us something, we check it. We don't need no nine people to be telling us nothing. No. You should know the company you keep. So if God sends something your way by virtue of a friend or a family member or, you know, someone in the church or something like that, then you know what? We need to stand to attention. Yes, that's what we need to do. That's our job. Stand at attention and get it done. It shouldn't take us no nine, 10 minutes to figure out if we need to get this thing together. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And I love to quote the scripture that says, my sheep hear my voice. So no, it doesn't have to come through it with the bullhorn and all of this kind of jazz. it should just come through, and we should automatically hear that it's God. Shake it off. Get to moving, and let's do what God says. That's what discipline is all about. It ain't as hard as we make it out to be. Alrighty? Alrighty. So there you have it. We have a recap of last week, and we have the beginning of this week. So God is good. Because again, we are shaking the Monday morning blues together. Yes! After last night's prayer, man, shaking the Monday morning blues should be a tad bit easier. Yep. 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 Well, come on. Let's get that healthy breakfast. Shake off that Monday morning blue. Call a friend. Let somebody know that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And we getting our talk on this morning. It's the beginning of the week. We got a lot of things to talk about. Definitely the relationship stuff. All right. All right. Well, our due time crew has started together so we can start our conversation this morning. So come on, come on, come on. Make sure you go nowhere. We will be right back.
People with AIDS are people. They are families. They are mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, friends, neighbors, just people. But it's through my work I am able to save one life, to bring one family closer together in their time of need. Then I will consider my work well done.
You know, despite remarkable progress in the fight against HIV, women account for almost 20% of the estimated 45,000 new HIV infections in the United States each year. African-American women account for an alarming 62% of new HIV infections. We must continue to protect ourselves. If you are sexually active, no matter what your age, please practice safe sex and get tested for HIV. To get the facts about HIV, visit ageisnotacondom.org.
Good morning and good morning to you again. It's Steph, and we are shaking the Monday morning blues together. Oh, how was your weekend? How was your week? Do you know I slept all day yesterday? Yep. Man, that hour lost. Woo, baby. I catch up on that. I gotta catch up on that hour. And I spent all day yesterday doing it. So I pray that you have a blessed day, you know, a blessed weekend. And you are here ready for the new week and to see what God has for us. Okay. All right. Well, I came across something that I thought you might find interesting. You know, even if you don't have any direct benefit from it, get those pens up, because there's something that you could possibly help someone with. You know, they say education is power. And we want to make sure that we share the power. Okay, so I found an article that says the craziest things that kill our home's value. So for those of us who are looking to purchase a home, or for those of us who know someone who's trying to sell a home, yeah, here's some information for us. Okay. Well, you have not keeping up with the Joneses. Yeah. What's going to, you know, keep our home from building value is when your home, when you don't do anything to your home. Yeah. When you don't fix up your home, it helps to kill the value of your home. Yeah, that's one of the crazies that helps to kill the value of your home. You know, where people have an upgrade here, upgrade there, maybe, you know, they do the windows or, you know, they're doing the front of their home, you know, little pavers. You know, we've been doing a lot of work on this particular property. I don't want to call it my home because it belongs to the Lord. And can I tell you, all around us, it's been going down. Yeah. Yeah, we got our windows done. Several people got their windows done. We got the front steps done, and then we got the pavers done, and other people are doing the same thing. You know, so now we bring up the value of the homes. Yeah, and the property value goes crazy. Okay? Fracking. Yeah. Now, they say fracking is, you know, those when you look in the background of certain states and they have those gas wells. Yeah. And you know what gas wells are, and or you see like all those lights and, you know, all of those big tubes, and yeah. They say that actually brings down the value of the property of your home. Yeah. You ain't got nothing to do with that. But it does. It does affect your home. Zombie houses. You know what zombie houses are? When you drive past and they got the boards up at the house and they're abandoned. Yep. That helps to bring down the value of your home. Now, that one might not be something like, oh, my gosh, it does. Because we all got to admit that it makes the block look horrible. And it brings down the value. Cracks in the pavement. Yeah. Yep. You know when you have cracks in the pavement and all of those, the roots and the flowers start coming up? Yep. They say that is definitely a killer of property. And I got to tell you something. With the way YouTube is flourishing these days, you can go out there and do it yourself. Yep. You can actually go out there and do it yourself. If I had the energy, I'd know what to do. Yep. All right. They call it curb on appeal. Yep. They say if buyers drive by your home or decide to do a walkthrough, what they see at first glance makes a difference. If your home is messy or unruly from the outside, if it needs a paint job, if the lawn needs doing, the walkway needs sweeping, man, they say that is definitely a killer. Definitely a killer. It makes sense, though. It makes every bit of sense. All right? Come on. What else? They say an unkept yard. Yeah. You know, it's a mess because sometimes you don't always have, you know, your gardener or your yard man. You know, he's got so much to do that he, you know, has other people to do. And that was one of the reasons why I decided to get rid of the grass. Yeah, because it's easier to sweep than it is to mow the lawn. you know, I think about the 27 years we've been here and how I've bought, you know, those little, the little grass cutters and, you know, all kind of things, and how I've paid so much money over the years for the yard to be, you know, kept up and looking good. And, man, just go ahead and put them papers out there. We ain't got nothing to worry about now, because I can't dig it. All it has to do is be swept. All it has to do is be swept. You know what else they say kills the value of your home? They say weird landscaping design. Yep. You know how when you go and you pay and you have like all these colors and the design in the thing, and you got white and green. Yeah. They say that stuff can really kill the value of your home, because everybody doesn't like the way that looks. Yeah. You know what else they said that goes along with that? When you don't cut those trees and they're leaning all over into your yard. Yep, they say that brings the value of your home down too. That's just as bad as the design you paid for. Can you imagine that? You paid to get that expensive, colorful design in your yard because it would turn your yard up and make it look so much better than everybody else's. Yeah. Yep. That goes down the drain. Down the drain. Oh, a pole. Yep. They say the pool can turn your home's value upside down. You know why they say? Okay, so you know at a point you don't, you know, it's not pool time. And a lot of people, you know, they don't keep it up and it doesn't look good. It got stuff floating all in it. Or you know how you see the people take that blue tarp? Yeah, they say it turns your value upside down. Yup. They say it turns it straight upside down. So, siding. Yup. Siding. They say siding is out. And see, when they were putting siding up initially, they were doing all kinds of colors. Well, it's working against people now. Because, you know, people are going brick. Yeah. The siding on the front of your home, people are replacing that with brick. And it upgrades the home's value. It upgrades the home's look. And they are leaving the siding to the side and the back of the house. Yeah. So they're saying that siding that you paid so much for at one point. Foreclosures. Yeah. Foreclosures look like zombie houses and that unkept yard and, yeah, all them things we just got finished talking about. Yeah, because ain't nobody there to do it. And that big old stupid foreclosure sign in the yard, oh, they say really seals the deal. All right. A bad neighbor. Oh, a bad neighbor. Such as the registered sex offender. Yep. Ain't nobody going to want to move in there if next door to you is a registered sex offender. Now, you don't really want to be there, but you ain't going to sell your house. You know, but yeah, they say a bad neighbor makes the property go down. Street traffic, noise pollution, a bad smell. Yeah. All of those type of things turn the value of your home upside down. Yeah, so, you know, if you're looking to sell your home, those are the kind of things that, you know, may kill you from getting the money for your home that you really, really wanted. Yeah, I know it looks bad. I know you can't do nothing about it, but I'm just here to warn you. Okay? So what are we talking about in the news today? Let's see. We're talking about, you know, this fentanyl thing was a big issue, you know, last year when we were constantly seeing the overdoses. Even remember we saw the overdose in the school with the, you know, with the children, and the three kids got a hold to the fentanyl, and they were trying to figure out how did they get a hold to such a large quantity. Well, there was a big arrest in this fentanyl overdose in West Point Cadets in Florida. They say the police have made an arrest in connection with all those fentanyl overdoses, but especially when it involved five cadets of a U.S. military academy at a Florida vacation home during spring break. You know it's COVID time because spring break came around and I had no clue. And several people that I spoke to had no clue that it was spring break. Yeah. So all of this was going on out in Florida where some kids gathered and they started using these drugs. They say six men and women overdosed on fentanyl-laced cocaine and had to be taken to the hospital. Well, they say authorities on late Friday, they made an arrest but didn't offer, like, real specifics on who the culprits were. And they said that, guess what? Some of the culprits have been identified. Some of the patients, I'm sorry, have been identified as college students from New York. Yes, out in Florida, getting their drug on. And now they are, unfortunately, you know, a part of those who were ill from this fentanyl overdose. And they say that it was a big bust out there. And they are really going for some heavy, heavy, heavy pay regarding, you know, seeing to it that some damage is done in this sentencing. Well, are you surprised? All you had to do was mention the cadets from, you know, some West Point thing. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're going to move. They're going to move when it comes to them. You know, so there may have been a couple of us involved. But when you talk about certain areas of look at the children. Look at what happened with the kids. We ain't heard nothing. But all you got to do is mention certain areas, and oh, yeah. So when these cadets were found using this fentanyl-laced cocaine, oh, yeah, they were going to find who was involved, and it wasn't going to take no whole lot of time. Okay? So they do have a couple of people in custody. Now, that just happened last week, and they already got some people in custody. That means that all these other times, they could have done the same thing. Now, we did see that, you know, they did get the people who were responsible for selling Michael Williams, the actor, you know, the drugs. Remember? We did that. But in all honesty, with all of the fentanyl laced cocaine cases out here, they haven't put a dent in this. And now all of a sudden you're waking up because of this. Well, remember, you know, we always talk about the fact that you know, it takes something major to go on, and then you have this attention
given to these matters. So in a sense, I ain't mad at them. You know, unfortunately, they had to take these kids to come across this fentanyl-laced cocaine in order for there to be some movement done. If that was the emergency, then oh well, oh well. That was the emergency. But, you know, so that more of our children don't get, you know, hold of this stuff here, you know, I pray that, you know, they really begin to really do some cracking down on getting to the bottom of this. Because this has really done some damage. Yeah, this fentanyl-laced cocaine has really done some damage in many, many lives. So, you know, we got to keep that lifted in prayer. Okay? Well, they say Alabama joins Georgia as well as some other states when it comes to residents no longer having to be required to hold a permit to conceal and carry a handgun in that state. You know, instead of them cracking down on all of the rules and regulations, no, they go and they make it easier. And this governor in Alabama is really annoying because her deal is, well, you know, we are protecting the Second Amendment. Really? All these children dying, all these people dying from all of this gun violence, and you're worrying about people's rights and their right to make sure that the amendment is given proper attention. You're going to ease the law. You know, the more and more and more we go forward, the more we're finding out that the people who are supposed to be and who have been designed to protect us, they're the ones putting us in harm's way. Several states have joined Georgia and all of those other places. Several states. And, you know, they're having rallies and all kinds of protests against this. They say last year, Arkansas, Iowa, Montana, Tennessee, Texas, and Utah all passed bills bypassing the permit process to carry guns. And you sit and you wonder, what in the world? This is why, if you notice, we've been talking about this for a minute. This is why, no matter what, they're not prosecuting. No, we're trying to figure out, well, why isn't anybody paying attention and all of this stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Why isn't anyone paying attention to the fact that, you know, nobody's really getting any hard times? Yeah. This is crazy. Well, I got a dilemma for us today, a news dilemma, and I want to see what you think about it. So here's the deal. There's a woman, and it appears to be on our side of the fence. Well, I want to make sure I get this right, because this was a real twisted story. Okay. So something happened where she had to get, had to give her DNA. And I want to make sure I get this right. Okay. She was raped. That's what happened. She was raped. And she had to give her DNA. And as they were checking out her DNA for the rape, and to help narrow down the perpetrator, they snagged her blood was tied to a burglary that happened quite a few years ago. So they subsequently ended up arresting her. Yeah. And now there's this uproar because she's upset because she's saying, well, wait a minute. I'm the victim here. Why are you bothering me? If I'm the victim and I had my rights violated, what are you doing wanting to focus more on the fact that you found that this was connected to a burglary case from back in 2016. So, yeah, they arrested them. They arrested her. They did not say that they were not going to continue to follow up on this entire rape case. But she was arrested, and they're going to continue to follow through on this arrest and this case. And they said that, you know, hey, this case has been live. There's no statute of limitation. We've been, you know, it's always been out there. We collected samples. I don't know what made them collect the sample, how they didn't get into too much detail of how they ended up with collecting samples of, you know, everybody in the potential burglary case. But the blood sample has been sitting out there. And when they ran it against the rape and it got put in the master database, she was picked up. And now I'm asking you, should they have arrested her for the burglary case back in 2016, or should they have, you know, left her alone? What should they have done? You know, again, you know, she's pulling the race card, and she's pointing out to the fact that, you know, I'm black, and, you know, this wouldn't happen to somebody else, and, you know, why are you bothering me? I am the victim here. This is betrayal and a re-victimization at the hands of the authorities. And, you know, I thought that, you know, this is a much bigger issue. And they say that California allows local law enforcement crime labs to operate their own forensic database. So it doesn't have to go through, you know, certain channels of feds. They can do it right there in locally. Okay? So they're not revealing who this victim perpetrator she is, but they are definitely looking to pursue both cases. What do you think? 347-285-7777. All right, come on, let me hear from you. Let's talk to the Due Time Crew this morning. Let's say good morning to our girl, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. Good morning. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm well. I am well. Much better than last week. How are you today? You know, last week you weren't feeling all that great either.
Yeah, I'm much better. Much better. So glad to be on today.
Oh, amen. All right, now, we got this issue of a home value. You know, I want to bring this up because you are a homeowner, and what's one of the ones you can identify with the most in regards to the thing that brings your home value down?
Your yard, you know, that definitely speaks for you, you know, whether it's not keeping your grass in the yard. You know, it's as high as, you know, your knees. That's pretty high, you know. And, you know, I've seen people with, you know, you've had a car in your yard for 4 or 5 years. You know,
man,
it doesn't look like you're doing any work on it. You know, and it's just, it looks horrible. You know, it gives a bad impression, you know, and it does make it look like, you know, you're not taking care of anything. The door is all, you know, almost off the hinges. There's no upkeep for the property. And what people don't realize is that, you know, we're now in an age where technology shows, you know. I did a while back, Sandy had done some damage to the awning in the front yard. And, you know, me being a female, not necessarily knowing how to fix it, I just kind of, you know, at one point I had wedged it, so, you know, it was okay. But then also when people Google your home for whatever purpose, they're looking at your property, and it speaks for you, you know, even down to, especially with these cars, that's a really bad impression of yourself. You know, the car's been sitting here 5-6 years, and you haven't gotten it towed, you haven't gotten it destroyed. It's just sitting there. It just really looks really bad on your property.
All righty. I know about this Google thing. I went and Googled my home for whatever the reason is. Oh, I think I was getting the windows. I wanted to get the windows done. And, you know, the guy, you know, he was like, okay, he wanted to get, you know, an idea of as to how the windows looked in the front of the house, because this is what the windows that I wanted to get done. Girl, when we pulled it up, it was showing me moving the garbage cans. All times for the satellite to be going through the block, taking a picture of my home, you see me moving and dragging the garbage can. Literally, it was a picture of me moving the garbage cans, and thank God the grass was cut, child. Thank God the grass was cut. But, you know, like you said, you don't know why people are going to be looking at your home, and you know this satellite taking a picture of your home can really catch your home while you're in between, you know, trying to fix up stuff. So you're right, you know, the way that the grass not being cut and all of this kind of stuff, the car that's potentially in the yard, all of this stuff unfortunately matters as to how, you know, the value of your home. So, you know, if you can, pay more attention. You know, it's not always an issue, Tamika, of money. Sometimes people just don't, quote-unquote, have the time and things like that. And, you know, we got to encourage them, fix that up, find the time, right?
Right. And when you least expect it, you know, it's difficult, especially if you don't work from home. And then sometimes it's still the same thing, you know, as much as you can, you know, get out there and sweep and, you know, because you never know. Somebody left something that had nothing to do with you, you know, and I'm forever picking up little black bags. I don't know where they come from, but they're in my yard, you know, and it's from people eating stuff and they throw the bag away and it ends up in my yard, you know. And again, you just never know when, you know, somebody will come by and you get a ticket and you're like, ticket for what? Oh, there's a battery sitting outside your home. But I didn't put it there.
Yep. Those blasted tickets, man. Wow. So we got to make sure we do our part in keeping up, you know, the value of the land. All right. Thank you so much. All right. We're talking about this fentanyl issue and how, you know, unfortunately these five cadets, you know, were partying and ended up overdosing. And now, you know, they're all in the hospital, every last one of them. But in a matter of minutes, they were able to find out at least somebody to arrest in regards to this. Well, what was your thought on the quickness of all of this?
You know, I am glad that they got to the heart of it. You know, But this fentanyl thing has, you know, it's still not, it hasn't ceased, you know. We have so many wars, and this war on drugs has not anywhere near been to the point of completing. You know, we still have this fentanyl issue. We just had a gentleman, you know, who passed away, had a bag, you know, in his home, you know, and we still have this fight with fentanyl, and we need to keep going, you know, to try and rescue, you know, people from dying from fentanyl.
Yeah, you know, again, like I said, I'm glad also that, you know, we're trying to, you know, find out who's behind these things. And, you know, I pray that the rush on finding who's behind this stuff is equal. You know, it's not just because it's these people's lives are more important or whatever, because it always seems to give that feel that, you know, like I said, you know, we had the babies who had all this fentanyl. Remember, they were trying to figure out how they had all this fentanyl in their possession, and had adults had that level and amount of fentanyl in their possession, you would have looked at it as them selling, because they said it would just be too much for personal use, you know, and yet we have yet to find who's responsible. Or, you know, did you do the research to find out who's responsible? Because to me, I'm going to be honest, it's easy to trace a child. It would be easier to trace a child than an adult. What you think?
I agree with that. The other thing is, whenever we hear it, we always hear, and I'm not calling anybody a nobody, but these little people, you know, when do we get the shark that ate the other fish that ate the other fish? You know, we keep talking about these little small entities that are getting it, but, you know, who's giving it to them, and who's giving it to them? How do we get it to the little young man that's, you know, in the home? How in the world did he get access to it? Where did he get it from?
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, you know, when you trace the steps of a child, it's much easier to figure out where they've been.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
How many places have you been on a bike, you know, or on foot? And you talk about three kids, you know, somebody going to break. Press them on, somebody breaking, you know. So, unfortunately, you know, it doesn't appear as though the equal amount of work to find, you know, who's behind these things, you know, is equal across the board. So, you know, we're going to keep this lifted in prayer that, like you said, you know, quote-unquote little people, you know, aren't overlooked. We have to be concerned about this here. I want to talk about this other thing with this woman who, you know, she was raped, and, you know, they're putting her, you know, they have her DNA and whatever have you. And somehow or another, it gets dropped into the same database as, you know, other issues and instances and crimes. And boy, oh boy, it comes up in a case back from 2016 regarding a burglary, and they subsequently arrest her. And her blood is matched, and that's what they're arresting her on. And she's saying, you should leave me alone because I'm here as a rape victim. I'm not here as a burglary suspect. What do you think?
You know, I get the fact, my heart goes out to her that, you know, she was raped, but you never served your time for the thing that you did do. You burglarized somebody, you know, and I guess for her is, well, I'm the victim. I was, you know, attacked or assaulted or you know. But that doesn't evade that you did something to somebody else. So she feels that that's not important right now. Take care of this. You know, we can do both at the same time. However, you still have to serve time for what you did. You're not innocent. You know, it's not like we got the wrong person. We have the right person. And I think it's only fair that we do proceed.
All righty. Come on. Let me hear from you. 347-285-7777. Do you agree with our lady Tamika, or do you feel on the opposite side of the fence? I want to know what's going on in your heads out there. What do you think should be done? How do you think this should be handled? Thank you so much, Tamika, for joining us today. We'll be back to continue our conversation. Thank God you're feeling better. Let's go and say good morning to our Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I'm well. How you doing over there?
I'm getting better. It flops back and forth, but I'm here. I think I'm good today.
Amen. All right, let's talk about this arrest for this fentanyl sellers, you know, this fentanyl-laced cocaine that they're out here selling. And now, you know, the cadets have unfortunately gotten their hands on this cocaine, and they're all in the hospital. As a matter of fact, they say a couple of them are on ventilators. And they got a perpetrator. They got somebody under arrest for selling it to them. And they did this with the quickness. But what are all your thoughts regarding, you know, okay, well, you know, they got these people. We have so many other cases out here where we've heard nothing. And we're celebrating, but maybe there's an eyebrow raised.
I think that a lot of times that it depending on whom it is, that's when they are quick to get a suspect. Or the person who has actually did it. Let me say that. I think that it should be equal all the way around, but that's not the life that it is. So it depending on, like, if it's things depending on who you know as well, I've always said that, of how fast they're going to do something. And unfortunately, you know, as far as what you was talking about as the babies, you should be able to trace because adult has to take them to wherever that they're going to be, and you're able to trace them. I thank God that these, you know, the ones that are in the hospital, you know, that they did not pass away. So we thank God for that. But they should be able to do equal across the board. But that's just not the, you know, this world of what we do. That's the sad part of it all.
All right. I want to get to this woman who says that she's being re-victimized and it's not fair. And, you know, yes, her blood was matched to a burglary back in 2016. But I'm the rape victim here. You need to be focusing on, you know, who raped me. And, you know, don't be paying no attention to what happened with no burglary and all of that kind of stuff. What do you think would be the right thing to do?
Well, I thought about it, and my thought was do this rape part first. Help me first, and then we can go to what happened later. Right now, let's deal with one at a time. Yes, I mean, sure, I will take my time, you know, to be sentenced. Okay, I can do that. But right this moment, in this particular moment, I've been raped. So I need you to do it. I think that is crazy. And then they did it, and I was listening to you when you said that you put it in the data. So a lot of times as well, that how many people have been in there that did not do the crime, you know, have gotten locked up that have not do the crime. So I'm not saying that I did not do it, but can we deal with my issue right now first? That's how I felt about it. I mean, I understand. But if you put yourself in that moment as a rape victim, you'll want somebody to you know, let's deal with this first, and then we can come back to that. Because you already know where I'm at, so it's not like I can run nowhere.
Okay, okay, okay. So it's funny because the question I had kind of touched on the last little thing you said here on the end. So here's, I'm going to put this out there. I'm going to ask you. Mm-hmm. So if we go with the scenario of address this rape case first, what happens if this case takes 4 years, this rape case? Now, already we've got this case that's been sitting here from 2016. So we're talking, we're in 22. So this would be the sixth year for this burglary issue to still have been kind of out there. And, you know, we go with the request of waiting, and that goes another 4 years. So are you, is it the victims of the burglary should now wait 10 years to have their issue addressed, and you've had the potential perpetrator in your possession for 4 years?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that doing, if it's going to take that long, I'll do my time. But while I'm in there, see, it flips for me, because if you take me in, and now you might forget about my rape case, because, you know, papers go up underneath papers. You know, papers disappear, you know. So now if you lock me up and I took the time, are you going to continue to look for my rape case, the person that raped me?
Okay.
But I would
okay.
say you should be able to do, I mean, I would do the time. But nothing is guaranteed, but are you going to continue? Because sometimes once they got you for one thing, they're going to forget about, you know, the other. But they might make it a little faster. Yeah, here we go, who it is. Make it a little faster because you took care of that, so now we're going to continue this. Because the people who, stuff that I took, they're going to press you. So you're going to press faster to take care of this so that I can do my time.
Okay, okay, okay. So now I got another question that came to my mm-hmm. head when you were talking the first time. Mm-hmm. How do we know that God did not allow one thing to reveal the other?
Absolutely.
You've known all this time that you were the person who burglarized that house. You were a part of the crew. I'm not even saying you did it by yourself, but part of the crew that burglarized that those people's home or that place of business, whatever. You already knew this. You've been walking around. You have not turned yourself in. You know you've been this person all this time. You know you've been a participant. As far as you were concerned, you committed the crime and you got away with it. Now you get raped. And while you get raped, what's the likelihood that your blood was dropped in a database that reveals something you did back in 2016? Now, we're going to talk on a spiritual level on this at this point. How do we know that God did not say, oh, yeah? Okay, here's how this is going to work. We don't know the mind of God, so we don't know if he made it happen or he allowed it to happen. But at the end of the day, whether it was his sovereign will or his permissive will, it happened. Now, all of a sudden, are you going to cry victim when you've been prancing around out here for 6 years? Now somebody should expedite your process and get you justice. How do we know that this is not God? I just put this out on the table.
Yes.
This is the stuff that came to my mind as Tamika was talking, as you were talking. This is just stuff that flowed through my mind. What do you think about that?
And you're absolutely right, because he does do that. because a lot of times when things happen, it'll bring back, you know, he'll bring back to memories of some things that you have done that you have gotten away with. You are so absolutely right, but I wasn't in that direction. But since we're here, you should have stated that, you know what, I am guilty. I, you know, repent of your sins, come to reality that this is the opportunity that God is allowing you to step up the plate and say what you have done, you know, and go to the people. And, yes, I would say doing that piece, yes, let me go and do my time, and I'm not going to worry because he did allow this to, you know, to happen. As far as if we all could think back, there are so many things in our lives that we have gotten away with, so, that we think we got away with. Let me say that. That we think we got away with it. But it's already written that this is what you did. You know what you did. I remember one time that he had me remember back when I was 5 years old, and this was just a couple of years back, of something that I have done that I had to apologize for, that I forgot all about it. Because a lot of times what we do, we put it in the back burner and we don't think about it. So now that you have this opportunity, he gives us the opportunity to think about what we have done and for you to be able to have start all over by repenting, by accepting of what you have done. So we, yes, justify. That's what we do a lot of times and things that we have done. So in this case right here, I will definitely agree that, yes, he has allowed it to for it to come forefront. So now what are you going to do with it? We're not saying that. I'm not saying I did not do it. What I did say was that I felt at that time to be able to do that. But since you brought it in that direction, I'm still sitting in a jail cell, you know, and I'm still going to have to do what I have done. You have to pay for the crime that you have done. Sometimes he allows us just to not, we don't have to pay, and sometimes that we do. So when it comes back that we have to suck it up and be able to be man or woman enough to say that I have done it, and here I am. Here I am, God. Here I am. And I need your help to help me through it.
Okay. Tamika, I'm going to give you an opportunity to speak on this possibility, because again, we don't know, you know, how, but we do know a God has allowed it to come up like that. Well, what comes to your mind?
Yeah, we can't escape, you know, our responsibility. You know, you have evaded for all that long time, and you know, now that it's you, you want to turn the tables on things. And a lot of times we do that, you know. We've done things to other people, you know, not that we've, you know, burglarized, but there are things that we've done to other people. And when that situation or something similar or even something along the lines happens to us, you know, we want to cry, oh, why me, why me, why me, you know, take care of my situation, when in actuality, we still are guilty for the thing that we have done, but we want, that's not important right now because I'm hurting, you know. And so that was the way that I saw that initially, you know. Oh, no, don't worry about that. Take care of this right now, you know. And honestly, we need to be responsible for our actions, and this is one true display of that.
Okay. So just something, you know, ladies, that I wanted to throw out there so that we could actually help our listeners understand. Again, last week, you can run, but you can't hide, right? You know, God knows where you are. God knows your thoughts. God knows what you're going to do before you do it. And, you know, God knows your actual location. So here we are, you know, free as a bird. And yet, you know, we get smashed later with the consequence of, you know, having to be revealed in such an unlikely and at such an emotionally, at emotional high point in our life. You know, somebody who's been raped, you know, one of the largest invasions possible, and, you know, personal, an invasion of personal space, invasion of your body, so your mind, the whole nine yards, and you are hurting. You are hurting. You want justice. And lo and behold, we get smashed. So, you know, and just like both ladies have said, we've had it happen to us all the time. That happens to us every time. You know, we get shocked. We're like, dang, this had to come up now. You'll be all twisted. You know, and so, you know, I just look at God and I'm like, wow, you know, this is something that we have to really pay attention to. So, you know, for all of us out here, you know, it's something to think about, something to really think about. We're at the time where we are, you know, where we're going to talk about our topic today. And the thing that comes up today is the fact that we're not emotionally available in a relationship. And, you know, what can we do to ensure that we are? You know, how things turn in our lives can definitely affect, you know, how we are or whether we are emotionally available, and what are the things we need to do to make sure that we are, okay? So the first thing they say is that we should take a hard look at the beliefs we have about ourselves right within the relationship. You know, you can't become emotionally available when you don't think about yourself within the relationship. Let's say good morning to our brother Al and see what he has to say about it. Good morning, brother Al.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And I'll say to you, Jeremiah 29:11, the God said, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, to give you welfare, not war, not evil, I'm saying, and I'm getting together to give you welfare and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Amen. How you like that? How you like that? How you like that?
Go ahead,
like
brother
that,
Al. Missy? Go ahead, brother Al. Go ahead. Go
oh,
ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Good
oh,
morning,
yeah.
Brother Al. Oh my goodness.
Morning.
How are we talking about, I know the plans I have for you. You know, I'm going to give you an opportunity to speak on what we just got finished talking about. We got a couple of minutes. We're going to make a couple of minutes this morning to give you an opportunity for you to speak on what we just got finished talking about with this whole issue with the woman who was raped, and in, you know, trying to find her perpetrator. She was revealed to have been involved in a burglary from back in 2016. Well, what's your thought?
You know, I'll be honest with you, so much is going on here this morning. I heard bits and pieces of the story, so I might have to pass on that because I didn't hear it fully.
All righty. Well, thank you for your honesty and not trying to jump in and get us all twisted and confused.
I know, right?
So
I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Okay. So we're talking about being emotionally unavailable in a relationship. And, you know, the people that are writing this article and weighing in, they're saying that you need to look and see who you are in this relationship in order for you to become emotionally available. What do you think about that?
I think that's absolutely true, because how can you help somebody else or be supportive to somebody else when you don't know what you're doing? You don't know where you're at. So I think that's definitely true and important, that you have to know yourself. Like I said, know okay, what am I in this relationship? What am I putting into this relationship? And once you find that out and got confidence and know for yourself, then you can be available to help someone else.
Okie dokie. Nice start. Thank you very much. Come on, Tamika, what you got? You know, you've got to assess, you know, who you are in this relationship before you could really become emotionally available.
That is so important. You know, a lot of times we invest in everything else but ourselves. We don't know who we are. You know, we just running, you know, to handle this and handle that and take care of these and take care of those. And inside, if I was to ask you what it is that you want or what it is, what are your goals, what are your, you completely, it takes you, you know, hours to respond because you don't know who you are. You know, how can you fully provide, you know, in a relationship? Because what we don't realize is that there's an investment, you know, and when you don't even, you know, it's kind of like going to a bank. You don't know how, what funds you have in there. So you don't know what to give. You don't know if you have enough to give. You don't even know if you have any to give, you know, and it makes the relationship chaotic.
All right. All right. Pastor Charlene, what's your thought on assessing who you are before you can really become emotionally available within this relationship to your partner?
I agree of knowing you. What are you bringing to the table on your end, not dealing with the person? If you don't know and know your value and you don't know where you stand of what are you able to bring? Because when you come into the relationship, you're supposed to be able to bring, everybody bringing something and where that we're able to build. So on your behalf of, you know, you got to just know who you are and stand on your ground and not, I want to say, when you, because sometimes, like Tamika just said, Lady Tamika just said, that, you know, when you don't know who you are, you start to really turn into who they are. And because I don't know me, I don't know what I like, I don't know what I want to do, you know, whatever you say. Always takes me to that movie. Whatever you say.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Okay, okay. Tamika, you know, we're talking about becoming emotionally available. They say make your partner's needs and feelings equal to yours.
Yeah, that is important because in some relationships, it's one or the other. You know, either you invest too much in theirs and yours goes lacking, or you invest too much in yours and theirs goes lacking. It's very important that you, as much as you can, put it on an even plane, you know, so that nobody is agitated because, you know, you always do this and I'm always the last one to get, you know, or vice versa, you know, your things, you know, you can't even handle such and such affair because he needs something and you're always, or she needs something and you're always investing in that individual. And, you know, it's easier to put it on an even plane that way. Listen, you know, sometimes I need to invest in me, you know, and then there are times when I need to invest in you so that there's not a problem.
Okay. Okay. Pastor Charlene, what's your thought on making everybody equal? You know, making that person's needs equal to yours.
Well, we know that that's not going to happen. Us as women, we are more givers. We more take care of, and we always put ourselves second. Now, I'm not saying in everything. I'm thinking of as far as us being, you're going to like something that I might not, so it won't be equal in that part either. But you can meet in the middle. You know what? Today, let's go do what you like to do. Let's go to the basketball court. I'll use that as an example. I'll go in and we'll go to the basketball court, but and we'll do that. That's not really what I want to do. So then the next time, you know, I say, let's go, I don't know, bowling. You know, and that might not be your thing. but you meet in the middle and where that you be able to support one another and being able to not to forget your needs, because there are times when you want to have to, you know, meet. So that's what I say about that.
Okay, okay. Come on, Brother Al. You know, make your the partner's needs equal to yours.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to do. I mean, how can we build if you may be into some things that I'm not into, but, you know, I'm going to support you just like you might be into art shows. I don't really, I'm not into art shows like that. But you know what? You like it. So, okay, I'm going to go with you. Excuse me, and check it out. Just the same way I might like watching basketball. Sit down and watch a basketball game with me. So you have to compromise, you know, and work together. That's all working together right there.
All right, all right. Pastor Charlene, they say stop the secret life.
Absolutely, because them secrets come back and bite you in the butt. So you're supposed, if you're in a relationship, you're supposed to be able to share and not nobody be able to come up and say, you know what, so-and-so such-such was told and you didn't know nothing about it because they shared it with somebody else. You should always, always, when you're serious in the relationship, sit down and tell your story. Because if you don't, somebody else will get an opportunity too. And then it will tear up the relationship when they find out. So be very careful. Don't let nothing come in the middle of your relationship.
All right, all right. Pastor. Brother Al, stop the secrecy. No secrets in that relationship.
Oh, yeah. Pastor Charles said the most. They'll come back and bite you. If I'm trying to be with you and build, then we need to know everything about each other. You know, everything, what's going on in your life. You know, I remember dating a young lady one time, excuse me, and she has a health problem and didn't tell me. And I'm like, okay, but what if you'd have passed out? I wouldn't know what to do or how to help you. So you definitely need to share. Share them secrets. Shouldn't be no secrets.
All right, all right. Tamika, stop that secret life.
Secret life will take you down, all the way down. When you least expect it, you know, that thing that you felt, oh, well, she doesn't need to know, he doesn't need to know, that's the one thing that can cause you problems. You know, a lot of times you think, well, I don't need to tell them. Well, then when you least expect it, you know, your best friend or your cousin or somebody that you know has found out and felt that she or he needs to know. And now your secret is now out in public, and now you have to deal with the repercussions of not saying what was so vital. You know, it is important to say. Speak up.
All right, all right. Make time for your partner, Brother Al. You know, if you're going to be emotionally available, you got to make time for them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, and the thing about it, if you're into somebody that you're dating or married to, that should come automatically. You would think that would come automatically. I love being around you. But sometimes schedules do conflict. You're doing this, I'm doing that. But you need to make a day where that you have to, that you could take off and be and spend the time with that person. You know, you have to do it, because if you don't do that, then it's going to just fall apart. It's straight fall apart. So, yes,
okay,
make time.
All right. Tamika, make time for your partner. How are you going to show that you're emotionally available if you don't?
There's so many relationships that have gone sour simply because the person wasn't physically available. You know, you have to intentionally set aside time, you know, and, you know, it's not all about you always have to take off a week or so, but sometimes quality time makes the difference, you know. Invest in each other. Find out what it is that you know, makes that relationship work. You know, we often talk about what it is that turns that person on, meaning, you know, are you a person that likes gifts? Are you a person that likes, you know, something said nicely about you, or is it a hug that works, you know, that makes that quality? So when you can't always have that quantity time, you know, that you can have quality. What, you know, what did we do in that time that helped us to mold together, that helps us to, you know, have that intimacy?
All right. Pastor Charlene, what do you say about making time for your partner with, you know, indicating that you're emotionally available?
Well, I think that because everybody has busy schedules, that you have the same way you make appointments for everything else, make that and then lock it in. On Wednesday, this is our day. No phone, no, you know, let everybody know this is not the day to call me, or, you know, just a date night, you know, and with that, you have to be able to, you know, be present with the person. Gifts are good. Gifts are great. Yeah, I agree with that. Gifts are great. But we want more quality time to be able to sit and be able to talk and be able to laugh and be able to, because as time go on, you got to remember, after a while, we ain't going to be able to do things that we used to could do. So you want to be able to have some memories where we can be able to go back and say, remember that time when we, you know, and you have something to laugh about and be able to join, you know, the relationship together where that bond is able to be tighter for those days when you're mad at each other. You really need to have those dates where you're able to go back and talk about what we did. So
Okay. Got a couple more before we close this down. Work on taking responsibility for your emotions. Oh, my goodness. Whew. Tamika, what you got?
Boy. You know, some people, their emotions are just off kilter, you know, and there's nothing that I could do or nothing that I can say, you know, and the person's response, you pretty much know that that's the issue when they say, well, that's just the way that I am. You got to deal with it. No, I don't. You know, you have to be responsible for the things that you're responsible for. It's important that you put me in tune with, you know, some of the things that, especially in current relationships that you're dealing with, have nothing to do with me. You know, they have things to do with something that happened in the past, and because I said or did something, it triggers things. And, you know, you have to deal with what it is that I'm dealing with currently because of what transpired. This is why that conversation and getting to know an individual is so vital, so that when I know that you've responded a certain way, I can kind of understand. But if you haven't told me and you haven't made taking responsibility for how you react, then, you know, it causes an issue, because then you start pointing fingers at me and it's not my fault.
Okay. Pastor Charlene, take responsibility for your emotions. How else are you going to be emotionally available if you don't take responsibility for your emotions?
I have to say that how I addressed of how I reacted or what I've said. I'm still working on that. Sometimes, you know, the emotions will take over because it will trigger something that might have happened to you. And you might not have never dealt with it. And that person that you're with now sees that where nobody else has ever told you that. So you have to be able to check yourself and hear you. They say it to yourself before you say it out loud, you know, and a lot of times we are emotional. We wear it on our sleeves. So every little thing can trigger. So you have to be able to know you. That goes back to self of care and knowing you, of where you're able to acknowledge of your fault. So you have to be able to be very careful with that. And it goes to sharing with your partner that I am still working on this, and this is what I need you to help me with. When you see me do this, you know, so where I can be able to, I might not notice it myself, where I'm able to come, you know, snatch myself back. So that's where that emotional be, because a lot of us wear it on our sleeves all the time.
All right, all right. Brother Al, take responsibility for your emotions.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You should know yourself better than anybody know themselves. So if you know, hey, I'm sensitive about everything, and somebody says something and you get mad or you shy away, you know that's a part of your makeup. So you need to be responsible for that. You need to realize that, like, hey, look, I'm a very sensitive person, so these things bother me. Again, so I can know, okay, not to say those things or not to do this. You know, so you have to be responsible. If you don't tell me and I do it and you get mad, what are you getting mad about? Because you never shared it with me. You don't take responsibility for it. So that's very important.
All right, all right. All righty. We're talking about this last thing, which is really a big one here. Commit to opening up. Pastor Sharlin, how are we closing today with this one?
Yes, you have to be able to be very honest with your partner and being able to allow them to help you deal with whatever emotional things that are, you know, going on in your past or whatever. Because it's a cleansing as well, and it's back and forth because it comes with trust. And once you start to trust that person, you should be able to say anything to that person, and where there is no judgment, where there is able to freely speak. So you want to be able to share your past with that person, you know, so that it doesn't come back with that, why are you acting like that? You know, every time when I try to say something or I try to do this, you act a certain way. But if you're open to them and being able to share your past and your dreams and being able to your relationship issues, you know, you'll be able to have a better understanding, a better relationship, and there will be nothing that you cannot conquer together. And that's what it's about, being able to conquer the relationship together. Me and you, we are able to fight through anything that comes up against us. So you be able to be open, transparent, you know, with that person, so where there is no judgment.
All right, all right. Oh, Brother Al, what are we talking about here? Commit to opening up. That's how we're going to become emotionally available.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Commit yourself to saying, hey, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be straight with you. You know, once you're straight with me and tell me everything, and I tell you everything, we can be emotionally available for each other. You know, to help you. You know, it might be something I can help you, some advice I can give you, some advice you can give me to help get through whatever it is that's causing an issue with me, that caused me maybe to go off or to shy away or if I feel like I can't talk to you. So that's very important to commit to that, both of you. Commit to it. Listen, we're going to be open with each other, and that's going to help your relationship and help your relationship grow.
All right, all right. Tamika, commit to opening up. What's your final word today on how to help our listeners understand this is one of the things that you're going to need to become emotionally available?
It's the unknown that causes the issues, you know. You know, in relationships, there, you know, we all have been affected, and, you know, we can be bruised by certain things, you know, but when you've opened up to me, then I know, okay, you know what, step across that. Don't step in that because of sender, you know, I might get injured by that, you know, and a lot of times we feel like, well, if, you know, I keep that to myself, then all of a sudden when a conversation comes up, you fly off the handle because that's an area of concern. It's a trigger, you know, that that individual wasn't aware of. You know, now you're lashing out at the one individual who can help you. But because you haven't expressed the hardship, the emotion that was transpired through the hurt, and all of the residuals that transpire, now the person is getting damaged by your damage. So, you know, we've often said that hurt people, and that's exactly what happened. So it's very important to open up and be transparent to the person that you want to share your life with so that they know they can help you in those areas, and they can see things that you may not be able to see and help you walk through those areas so that it can be better, so that when we get to that conversation, it's not so offensive or abrasive to the person receiving it.
All right. Oh, this has been a very stimulating conversation today, and I know that you've helped somebody out there become emotionally available within their relationship. Thank you so much for your contribution. I pray you have a blessed day.
Everyone, have a great day.
You too. Have a great day.
Thank you. All righty. We've come to the top of the hour where we get our switch tip. Let's say good morning to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. What you got for us today?
Today I got the switch with Shantice, where we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. And our switch tip 95 is be a person of your word. So, you know, in the streets, you know, I know back in the day they always used to say, you know, word is bond, meaning, you know, my word is good for it. And, you know, now they say facts, but back then it meant true. And, you know, all these catchphrases that just take on meanings of itself and just become just kind of like idle talk. Like, it starts off with having a meaning, but if it's a catchphrase that sounds good, now everybody's saying it. But when I thought about being a person of your word, it made me think, of course, about promises. And I came across two definitions of promise. First one is a statement that one will do or refrain from doing something specified, or a legally binding announcement that gives the person to whom it is made a right to expect or to claim the performance or self-control of a specified act. And especially this last definition was just like, wow, because it put me in the mind of, you know, us with God. So when we make a promise to God, we're making a legally binding announcement to him that gives God a right to expect us to do and have the self-control to do what we told him we would do, or to have the self-control to not do what we told him we wouldn't do. And see, this is why before we can get into making promises and having discipline, we have to really go through healing, because there is no self-control without making sure that you're healed from certain things. So now here you go telling God and telling people, but most importantly God, that, oh, I'm able to do this, so let me tell you I'm going to do this, or I'm able to stay away from that, so let me tell you I'm going to stay away from that. And you haven't even asked him to help you get down to the root of why you do these things in order to have to make the promise. But, of course, you're not going to really understand that until you start really studying what this means to God. So I came across Ecclesiastes 5, and it was a set of verses that really stood out to me, and it's titled Approaching God with Care. And again, like I said, you know, when we're taking the time to make these promises, it is just like such a cliche now, you know, especially in the Christian arena. It's like, okay, God, you know, I'm going to tell God I'm going to do this. I'm going to tell God I'm going to do that. And then, you know, with me now saying that, it, the word humility popped into my head. You know, a lot of times we're not humble enough to go to God and say, God, I want to be able to tell you that I'm going to stop doing this. Because I don't, and that's how I've gotten into the habit of talking to God. Like, I want to do this, but it's wrong. So I don't want to do this anymore. So I'm going to need you to help me get rid of this desire. And again, that's being open, that's being transparent, that's being humble. But we have to make sure that we're approaching God with care. So Ecclesiastes 5, verses 1 through 2 in the New King James Version reads, as you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. It is evil to make mindless offerings to God. Don't make rash promises and don't be hasty in bringing matters before God. After all, God is in heaven and you are here on earth, so let your words be few. Then skip on down real quick to verses 4 through 7. When you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through, for God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to him. It is better to say nothing than to make a promise and not keep it. Don't let your mouth make you sin, and don't defend yourself by telling the temple messenger that the promise you made was a mistake. That would make God angry, and he might wipe out everything you have achieved. Talk is cheap, like daydreams and other useless activities. Fear God instead. Now that says a whole lot. And again, go back and read Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 7 for yourself and really meditate on it. Ask God to help you analyze it, because the part where it says, and don't defend yourself by telling the temple messenger that the promise you made was a mistake, because you pretty much knew. And this brings me to, like, there was a point, I think it was last year or year before last, or maybe both, where, you know, I found myself avoiding making promises to God because that was my way of not making a commitment to no longer do what I knew I wasn't supposed to do. So during a few times during prayer, I felt a little compelled to promise, you know, okay, God, I'm not going to do this anymore. And I was like, yeah, but I feel like I'm lying, because as I'm saying that, I have a desire to do it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to just make this promise to you, God, because it's going to force me to not do it. Wrong. Lies. Just lies, I was saying to myself. And I know God was probably sitting up there like, why are you saying to play yourself? Like, you know you ain't going to do this. You know you're not going to stop. But I just felt like, you know, God, and the feeling was right. You know, Shantice, you being a punk, because you don't want to make this commitment, because you know that you're going to now have to stand by what you said. And I really wasn't, I was ready to start the process of letting this go, but I wasn't ready to fully let it go instantaneously. And again, when you're open with God, he loves that, because now you really give him something to work with and you feel the healing happening. But look at how I just put myself in. Hello, verse 1 says, it is evil to make mindless offerings to God. So I was willingly being evil. And this evil thing been popping up a lot. Last few switch tips, the verses that he's been giving me come up. You are evil if you do this. You are evil if you do. You are evil when you know what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing, and you do it anyway. So you really have to be mindful. You cannot force yourself to make promises to God because you think it's going to force you to be obedient. It does not work. Stop lying to yourself. Stop making mindless promises to God. And then it brought me to the thought of, we have to stop giving our word to people. Because, yes, God is important, and he also makes sure that we understand how important we are to each other. So he cares about the promises we make to each other that we don't keep either. So we have to make sure that we're not giving our word just to sound nice. And that brought me to Matthew 5, verse 34 in the Message version. You only make things worse when you lay down a smokescreen of PR, meaning hypocritical talk, saying, I'll pray for you and never doing it, or saying, God be with you and not meaning it. You don't make your words sound true by embellishing them with religious lace. In making your speech sound more religious, it becomes less true. Mosey on down real quick to verse 37. Just say yes and no. When you manipulate words to get your own way, you go wrong. And I was having a conversation with my church family, I think it was like a few months ago, and we were talking about, I forgot what the topic was, but we ended up talking about people like that you don't like, or people that get on your nerves, or something like that. And I said something, and they said, well, why don't you tell the person I'll pray for you? And I said, why? I'm not lying. I don't want to pray for them. Now, I know Jesus says pray for your enemies, but I have to make sure that my heart is right first, because prayer is very serious. So I'm not going to God and fake praying for them. My eyes is rolling because I'm talking about so-and-so to God, and I'm asking, no, my initial prayer first has to be, God, please clear my heart so that I can properly come before you
and pray. And God really started getting on me about telling people that I would pray for them. Now, mind you, when I tell people I pray for them, I really mean it. But throughout the course of the day and things happening or things not happening, I get distracted, I forget to pray. And there's been a few times, even last week, I've gone to lay down and then I'll pop back up like maybe I will be like, oh, I didn't pray for so-and-so. And I'll have to pray right then. He takes this stuff very serious. Now, that was something that I intended to do, but for whatever reason, I legitimately forgot. So think about when you just say that just to sound nice. Stop. You're being fake. God senses it. You sense it. The other person may sense it. It don't make sense. He will, I won't say he will punish you, but he takes it very serious, and you have to make sure that you're getting yourself and keeping yourself in the habit of when you tell God, because when you tell other people you're going to do something, you're ultimately saying it to God. Remember, whatever we do, everything we do, we're ultimately doing it for him. So when we make these promises to people and even to ourselves, we're also making that declaration to him. So being a person of your word helps you to stay true to God and Jesus. It helps you to stay true to his word, and it helps you to stay true to yourself. So we have to make sure that we're making the conscious decision of making the switch from being hypocritical, from trying to sound cute. Well, you know you're lying. And if you think you're not, Jesus is going to let you know you're lying, to making sure that you're being a person of your word and keeping your promises to God. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shantice. Thank you. And we pray you have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. The benediction for this morning. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians 3:16 and 17. It's so, you know, earlier I brought up the fact of, you know, when God does something and he strategically, I always say there's no better strategist than God, but he strategically moves or allows things to move into his place. And it's you know, I'm following him and all the things that were talked about in my own life and the discipline that came up last night and, you know, wanting to make moves, wanting to say things, just wanting to maneuver in a certain manner. And I have to give God so much thanks because I'm growing. I'm growing immensely. Everything is just pinching me and saying, Stephanie, you need to pay attention to that. And Stephanie, you need to pay attention to that. And don't do this and don't do that. And watch for this and watch for that. And in God showing me what he's doing and what he wants me not to do and the things that he wants me to do, it helps me to look across that table and to monitor more what people are doing and to check and ask myself, is that what God wants you to do, or should they be doing that, or has nothing to do with judging? So get that judge word in its proper context. Again, it's that assessment. You know, if God doesn't have me microscopically look at things, there's no way in the world I'm going to be able to determine whether I should be doing or saying that or not. I've got to be able to look. I've got to be able to assess. I've got to be able to, you know, look at something and kind of go, is that what we should be doing? It's a part of growth, and it's a part of what God has me doing. I can't be past the step if I'm not microscopically looking at stuff, because how am I going to educate? How am I going to assist? How am I going to, you know, help somebody else with what they need to be doing if I myself am confused and twisted and I don't know what's right and what's wrong? And I give God thanks for this broadcast. I think I give God thanks for the ministers here. I give God thanks for you. I really give God thanks, because I would have never in a million years on my own thought to get up and have a broadcast first thing in the morning and know how to move and maneuver. That had to be a God-given thing. It had to be God who chose. I always say God has chosen who is on this broadcast and who he's limiting, who he's adding. Yeah, I'm watching all of that as well. You know, who he has completely eliminated, who he has brought from out of nowhere. I'm paying attention to it all. And that's what he wants. That's part of growth in him. That's part of that relationship being strengthened. You know, we would just caution to, you know, not say things that we're not going to hold to, that we're not going to keep our promise, that we're not going to stick to it. Don't even bother to say it. I made the commitment to God that I would do whatever he told me to do, and he would not have to tell it to me twice. Then I got to make sure I do it. And if that means that I have to microscopically look at things to in order to keep my word, then guess what I'm going to do? You know, remember what I said last night. I meant whatever it takes to make it right with you, God, I'll do it. Whatever it takes to make it right with you, God, I'll do it. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, and I mean that, whatever it takes. That's a word that I have put out there, and I mean that, whatever it takes. I cannot compromise. I cannot waver. I cannot let what you or him or her or they say or how they look at me dictate or determine what I do. I am so sick and tired of everybody saying and doing what they want to do, and then when you respond, they're looking at you all twisted. And I've had to say, I think more times in the past month than ever in my life, you are not going to say and do what you want to do and then look at me like I'm twisted when I respond, because I only answer to one person first. Now, I answer to a whole lot of people, but I only answer to one source first. And based on that response, it's based on how I deal with you. Whether you like it or not, whether you enjoy it or not, whether you understand it or not, I'll take forever to help you understand it. If it's not coming from an area of resistance, you got it. You got it coming from me, because God understands that when I got to you, whether you would understand or not. So I owe it to him, because I gave him my word that I would give you everything. And whether you like what I give or not, I give you everything that God gives me. And now you take and digest it, and you take it to the word of God, and you match it up. That's the only way you're going to make sure it's right or not. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. It will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. I want to thank my Due Time crew for coming through big time today. And I want to thank you for hanging out with us today and listening and paying attention and being not just a hearer but a doer of God's word. Please be sure to accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Oh, until tomorrow, with Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day, if God spares our life. I love you.